This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. We spend plenty of time on this program listening to, learning about, and discussing music. Tonight, Jim Reese will give a talk about what might have been some of the first musical sounds ever made in the Ozarks. His lecture, "The Hills Were Alive with the Sound of Music, Musical Instruments of the Ancient Ozarks," concentrates on a small collection of apparent whistles, flutes, and rattles unearthed at bluff shelters in northern Arkansas and southwest Missouri in the early part of the 20th century. Jim Reese came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News studio yesterday, and he spread out a number of instruments across the studio table.
Well, I've done volunteer work at the Archaeological Survey for a couple of years now. I've done some field work. Last spring, they put me on a project that they're working on where they're going through collections at the museum, mostly made in bluff shelters in northwest Arkansas, and they're doing an inventory. Now, the ultimate goal of this project, I think, is to put all this information on a database. So in the process of opening these boxes of artifacts and looking at each one, and they're really quite amazing, the stuff that's in there, I ran across a couple of whistles made of cane. And I became fascinated about how these things work. So I went home and made a crude replica and sort of figured out what they sounded like and how you would play them. And that's how I got interested. And from there, I started looking at more collections and reading literature and so forth.
The fact that they're made out of cane, that's one of the things that makes it very special that any exist at all.
Yes, and they exist because the sort of micro-environment inside these bluff shelters, or many of them, is very dry. And so they're preserved because they were not exposed to moisture. If they'd been in an open site, would have deteriorated. And
we wouldn't know about
them. We wouldn't know about them.
Well, which here is a replica of one of those whistles that...
Yeah, this is one. It's just a hollow cane tube.
About 6 inches long?
Yeah. Yeah, it's about 10 centimeters, yeah. And I experimented on this to try to figure out how they were played, and the only way I could get a sound out of them is to stop up. It has a hole right in the middle, one hole. And so I stop up that hole and the one on the other end.
And play it across the top.
Yeah, or you can... Or half-step difference, interestingly. Or you can play the middle hole.
Oh, much, much higher register there.
Mm-hmm. You can get actually three different pitches. This is an octave higher than one of the others. I think it's C-sharp. Okay. But, so...
Any idea? I mean, I know you hate to speculate, but any idea whether something like that, and that's a replica of something you found, any idea what the original dated to?
The dates on these are uncertain, on most of these artifacts. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the stratigraphy in the bluff shelters has been sort of jumbled up. And the excavation techniques back in the 30s when these were excavated were not that great, so we don't have really good records in some cases. So it's difficult to know. A few things from the bluff shelters have been radiocarbon dated. Mm-hmm. They probably date anywhere from about... the first or second century BC, all the way up to maybe about 1200.
Okay.
Somewhere in that range. But we'd like to get permission to take a sample from our most spectacular find just to find out how old it is. So.
And I guess, and again, speculation's tough, but from my untrained ear and eye, it would seem that perhaps that replica flute you just played, that might not have been so much for music but as communication?
I thought of that. Okay, this is technically is a whistle rather than a flute, and the difference between the two is that whistles can only make one or two notes, whereas a flute can has a whole range of different pitches. But ethnographically, whistles like this were often used in warfare, and I have found pictures of an Osage flute, or actually it's a whistle because it only makes one tone. It's about 2 feet long, and it's a works on a different principle from this. But the Osage believe that when they went to attack their enemies, if they blew these flutes, that it would embolden their warriors who could hear them, and it would strike terror in the hearts of their enemies and actually paralyze them so they couldn't run away. So there is that association.
So that is a whistle. Do you have any replica flutes here?
Okay. We have found a couple of flutes, one at Eden's Bluff, which had four holes, but it's broken and it's difficult to tell. It was probably what we call a non-duct flute, similar to this is a Japanese shakuhachi flute. It's just a hollow tube, and it has four holes, and the one that we found at Eden's Bluff also has four holes. Well, actually, this has five because it has a thumb hole in the back.
Okay.
And it plays a pentatonic scale. The one from Eden's is very short. It's probably about 11 centimeters, and it has at least four holes. And it was probably played pretty much like this. Okay, flutes. There are actually two kinds. There are non-duct and duct. That's D-U-C-T flutes. This is a non-duct flute, and it involves blowing a stream of air with your lips across an edge, okay, called a labium. And what this does is it splits the airstream, and the air that goes inside the tube is very turbulent, and it vibrates, and that's what creates the sound. So you have to aim your stream of air with your mouth against this edge here, and very difficult to play. It took me nearly a month to get a sound out of this shakuhachi.
To get any sound whatsoever.
Any sound at all. It's sort of like blowing a Coke bottle, but it's a little more complicated. Now, the orchestral flute is a transverse flute. This is an inblown flute, the shakuhachi. And the one from Eden's Bluff is probably also an inblown flute.
And Eden's Bluff is, for people who don't know?
It's the rock shelter that is now under Beaver Lake on the White River.
You mentioned flutes, you mentioned whistles, and rattles, and rasps. And a rasp would be something that you...
Yes, that you would scrape on. And one of these was found in the Elk Springs Bluff Shelter. And this is a replica that I'm playing. It's just a piece of cane with notches cut in it. Okay.
And then you take another piece of cane and just roll over that.
Yes, or ethnographically, these were usually played with the scapula of a deer, a shoulder blade of a deer. It sort of makes a difference what you play it with as to the sound. Here's a deer antler. I don't happen to have a scapula on me, but
so a little bit different in the tone.
A little different tone, but listen to what happens when you hold it against this dried gourd.
It's amplified. It's
right. The gourd serves as a resonator.
Right.
And I found a photograph made by Joseph Mora in one of the Hopi towns in about 1905. It shows some Kachina dancers playing a rasp that looks almost identical to the one that was found in Elk Springs Bluff Shelter in Missouri. The only difference was the rasp the Hopi players were using was made of wood. This is made of cane. And they were holding the rasp against a dried pumpkin to get that kind of sound instead of this kind of sound. And Mora says that they moved it up and down, changed position. As you do that, you get different sounds.
Any chance, does anyone think that maybe still, I mean, Eden's Bluff, it's too late. I mean,
right.
That's underwater.
It's underwater.
But another bluff shelter, perhaps there is yet to be found another instrument, or?
Well, there's always hope. Unfortunately, most of the bluff shelters, in fact, almost all of them, have either been excavated professionally or they've been looted. And that's too bad because a lot of information has been lost. And the chances of finding a pristine one and then being allowed to dig in it, which is another issue, are not great, I'd say. But not impossible. Not impossible.
You never know.
Right. What I'm thinking is that there probably are other musical instruments that have been sitting around in the museum collection for the last 50 years or 60 years that have gone unrecognized or unstudied. I'm kind of amazed we have all this treasure trove of artifacts in these collections, and they have really not been studied that much. And so I'm hoping someone will take up the cause and start looking.
You know, there's part of the story.
Closely.
There's part of the story we'll never know. I mean, we can see these items. We can say pretty reasonably, yeah, okay, that was an instrument that made noise, that made music of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll never for sure probably know just what they sounded like or how they were used.
Exactly. The closest thing we can come to there is ethnographic information. In the Southwest, there's really good ethnographic information, but what you have there is a situation where you have native cultures that are still in place, living in the same places their ancestors lived, and with cultural traditions they preserve that go way back into prehistory. So there's a wealth of information. They're still playing these instruments.
Jim, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been fun.
Jim Reese is a retired teacher and does volunteer work at the Arkansas Archaeological Survey with the University of Arkansas. He earned his master's in cultural anthropology from the University of Arkansas. His lecture, "The Hills Were Alive with the Sound of Music, Musical Instruments of the Ancient Ozarks," is scheduled for tonight at 7 at the Arkansas Archaeological Survey Building on the U of A Agricultural Campus. For more information or directions, you can call 575-3556. That's 575-3556. And there's more to our conversation, and you can hear it, including why these instruments might alter when we think certain musical instruments were first created or used in North America. That's available at OzarksAtLarge.com.